The following program is sponsored by Hill Country Family Services. This is Bernie Radio.
My family is facing a crisis.
I just lost my job.
I don't know what to do.
This is Stacey Almaguer with Hill Country Family Services in Bernie. We can help you and your family navigate beyond your crisis with financial assistance, self-selection groceries, and case management services. We can also help you find all the resources that you need to help you return to self-sufficiency, because a crisis does not last forever. Live here and give here. Hill Country Family Services. Call us at 830-249-8643 or on our website at hcfstx.org. Good morning, Bernie and Kendall County. This is Stacey Almaguer. I'm the CEO of Hill Country Family Services, and I am so excited to have two guests with me today. First of all, Al Oxier, Kendall County Sheriff, and Bryce Bodie, who is with Hill Country Family Services and is a licensed master social worker. So welcome, both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Of course. We're here to talk about mental health. That is a really big topic, and one of which that is so important to every community on earth right now. But really what we want to do is drill down to Kendall County and why it matters. And then everybody's going to wonder why on earth the sheriff would be wanting to be part of a conversation about mental health. That seems like he's got a lot more things to worry about than mental and behavioral health. But we'll explain just in a minute about why that matters, and then also how Bryce Bodie ended up at Hill Country Family Services of all places, because the last time we knew you were at UTSA.
Yes, and now Hill Country Family Services.
Fantastic. We're so glad to have you. Our staff got broad with adding you on board, because we were an all-girl staff, and then suddenly we've got a guy, and you just helped make sense of our organization. All right. So we're going to really kick it off and make sure the community is fully aware of the fact that we've, as an organization, Hill Country Family Services is 40 years old. We're the oldest nonprofit in Bernie and have always been that very first call triage. If you don't know a question, an answer to a question, you call Hill Country Family Services no matter what it is. And we're honored to serve in that role in the community. Although our mission is truly to serve those in crisis in Kendall County. Recently, we have broadened the scope of services to include mental and behavioral health support, because there's no bigger crisis than a crisis that involves a family in need of mental health support. And we're honored to serve in that role. We're a founding member of the Kendall County Behavioral Health Initiative. If you're familiar, there's a community buzz going on right now about why nonprofits and the community leaders are really stepping up to understand the mental and behavioral health needs of the community. What we witnessed in Uvalde was catastrophic for everyone, and we want to make sure that we shore up the resources that we have here in our county to make sure that we're serving the needs before tragedy strikes. And so that's really a core part of the Behavioral Health Initiative, is to have in-county services and to make sure that local families have the resources that they need. So Hill Country Family Services is part of leading that charge, which is working on identifying needs and providing solutions for mental and behavioral health across Kendall County. But first, we must identify the community need. Sheriff Al, why don't you tell us about why Kendall County needs to focus on mental and behavioral health issues?
Well, thanks, Stacey. You know, this became really prevalent to me and when I took office in 2013. Not having the exposure that I have today with the responsibility of the jail, one of the things that came to surface was the fact that the local jail is basically, for any local community or smaller communities, it has become the mental health facility for any local community, basically because that's where people end up. Instead of being able to have resources and find help outside of the law enforcement realm, it is, you make the 911 call, law enforcement shows up, and they usually, you know, a crisis happens, and usually some type of law has been violated, and you have an infraction, so the thing to do is take them to jail. That doesn't solve the problem. So, you know, it became very prevalent, as I have the responsibility of the jail, that mental behavioral health issues, it covers such a broad spectrum. There is no confinement to any certain populace, any age group, any economic situation, any educational. There are no barriers to this. So I've had all kinds of people in my office that come and share concerns and looking for help as to what resources might be available. And sadly enough, with all the conferences and all the trainings and all the resources where I go to look, I've even testified in two different legislative committees. It's like we have to figure out our own solutions within our own community. So that's kind of where we're at. And think about what's going on in our country. And with all these, you know, most recent, the Uvalde situation, you know, what makes somebody do something like that? That's obviously a severe case, but it's everywhere. I don't think there's anybody anywhere that can say that they have never had an issue or know somebody, whether it's immediate family, extended family, work, coworkers, friends of friends, that you don't know somebody that is dealing with some type of mental issue. Even here at the jail, in our schools, I mean, they are pharmacies of giving out drugs for kids. Us here at the jail, I mean, our solution is to medicate, and that becomes part of the problem. So my hope is to be able to get out in front of this. We have a smaller community yet, you know, about 50,000 people knocking on that door. I feel that my responsibility to look and find and be a part of a collaboration that is willing to work and identify those resources and try to get out in front of this thing and not be so reactive as we are and try to be proactive in this. So that's where we're at.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing that perspective, because I think that the community might be extremely surprised to hear that deputies show up at the door of mental health calls. I mean, as a parent, what do? That you have a mental health emergency and you're going to dial 911, and who do you expect is going to show up? Your police is going to show up, and they're going to have to take some action, and that's the reality of our community. So thank you so much. Bryce, we're going to really drill into you and ask you why you have made this enormous professional change, which I consider it pretty enormous. You left the safety and security of UTSA, Go Roadrunners, and you came to Bernie to serve. And your specific role is the Senior Director of Hill Country Family Services Action on the Kendall County Behavioral Health Initiative. What do you want the community to know?
So the first thing I would say is, Kendall County, you've got one heck of a sheriff. To be upstream focused about this in a small rural community that is not so small anymore, that's growing exponentially, to have the heart and the courage to have that vision to make sure we're taking care of the people of Kendall County in a good way, a healthy way, a safe way. So I do credit Al for a lot of this. He doesn't like getting that credit or pat on the back, but he deserves it, because that leadership has created, I think, more movement in the behavioral health initiative and more collaboration. I think that's the important part. So one of the reasons why I said yes to leaving UTSA full-time and coming to work back in Bernie and not have to drive to downtown San Antonio was because of that leadership and the collaboration. And so the cool thing is that we have other groups here in this town, not just Hill Country Family Services, but our MHDD Center, which has been overwhelmed with this. They cover 19 counties in the Hill Country. That's a lot of rural communities in those 19 counties that they are responsible for taking care of, and they're overwhelmed with it. So we're coming along beside them and partnering. Hill Country Daily Bread, the Ecumenical Center, Women's Job Corps, banks. We have banks in town that are showing up to these meetings to see how they can be a part of taking care of the people of Kendall County. And the collaborative part of that is the coolest thing to me. So that's why I said yes, is because of the leadership.
Well, we're so grateful that you did, because really making change, there's a famous quote that says, you know, don't discount, I'm going to paraphrase here, don't discount the work of a small group of very passionate people. It's the only thing that's ever worked. Is not on a national level making laws. It's really that grassroots, community-based, people who have a heart and a passion. And I'm so grateful that both of you are representing a portion of this incredible passion about making sure that there is access, equitable access to mental behavioral health services in our county. I've said it in front of the commissioner's court before, should be embarrassed, but I'm not. I say we're better than that. We deserve to have adequate services in Kendall County. And if all that it takes is gathering those with a circle of influence and a bit of responsibility and influence to make it happen. I call it power. But really what I'm trying to say is that you're using the resources that you have in order to create pathways for change. And that's what we're trying to do at Hill Country Family Services as part of the Kendall County Behavioral Health Initiative. So the other thing that I want to ask you, Bryce, is one of my favorite phrases is something that you brought to the office, which is that your goal is to spread the gospel of mental wellness in Kendall County. What does that mean?
That is a great question.
I know, right?
I think that is one of the coolest things we can do as a collaborative, because there are folks that are doing this. I'm meeting with a couple from St. Peter's Catholic Church who have taken on this initiative at their church. There's a group that meets at the Lutheran Church. There's probably more churches out there that are doing things for mental health with their congregations, but not just churches, nonprofits, other groups in town, organizations, Girls with Grit. I always give them big props. Girls on the Run. There's lots of girls doing stuff in Kendall County for mental health. And I think that's important that we all know it exists, because if it exists in a vacuum and nobody knows that there's a support group that's out there for parents that might be dealing with a bipolar disorder or any kind of DSM diagnosis and just need somebody to lean on, to ask questions about, to understand where the resources are, that's why I think it's important that we know about mental wellness so that we can provide access to that information and all work together to address that.
And I wouldn't widen that out a little bit, because one of our friends who created the Kendall County Giving Connections website, Jeff Schwartz, he emailed me something a few weeks ago that said that 47% of kids are sad and depressed with anxiety. And in comparison to something like 10 years ago, where that rate was like 14%. Mm. So you have this exponential rise in depression and anxiety. So when we talk about mental and behavioral health, we're really not talking so much about the diagnoses that we can give to individuals in our communities. We're really talking about the basic foundation of how we feel and our kids are feeling, and inside of the schools and what teachers are responsible for right now, which is trying to deal with kids who spent a year and a half at home being parented by day drinkers. And, you know, you do what you got to do to make it through a pandemic, but, you know, they don't know how to behave in the classroom anymore. And they're really, the boundaries have been blurred with their own parents and watching things at home maybe they shouldn't have witnessed. But just the overall overwhelming feeling of what it's like to live in these times, which is really complicated, and for a child that's really scary. So mental and behavioral health wellness is really, I think, even broader than, you know, an unfortunate diagnosis of mental illness. It could be something simple like depression and anxiety for young teens, young adults trying to figure out who they are in the universe and what color is their parachute. That was my favorite book when I was graduating from high school. It's like, I just knew I liked to talk in front of people, but that wasn't a major in college. That was my stress. So when I think of a stress scale, that's probably a 2. So now what kids have to worry about is if they're going to contract a deadly, you know, virus that's going to kill them, their grandparents, their family. The level of anxiety is obviously, it's coming from a very real place for our whole community. If you just joined us, this is Stacey Almaguer with Hill Country Family Services, and today I'm joined by Sheriff Al Oxier of the Kendall County Sheriff's Department and Bryce Bodie, who is the master's level social worker at Hill Country Family Services. Back to Al, Sheriff Al, what I want to talk about is the Kendall County Behavioral Health Initiative. How do you perceive and believe that it's going to specifically impact the safety and security of the community?
Well, Stacey, you have covered so much. Here's what I envision, is that we have resources available. What I would like to see is when that 911 call comes out, that there are options for us, that from a law enforcement perspective, we don't just automatically have to take somebody to jail because they've committed some kind of minor infraction of the law, that they're in a crisis situation and we have avenues available to find them some help. And so let's get to the root of the cause of what's making them behave the way they are. I do want to emphasize something here, because we concentrate on, quote, mental health. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that people understand that this needs to include, when it comes to behavioral health, we need to include the addiction side of things here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We forget so often that our behaviors are sometimes based on addictions, and sometimes addictions are based on our behaviors. And it goes both ways. So, I mean, look what's happening in the country right now with fentanyl. I mean, this morning, one of the reports, a 70% increase of, let's just call it homicides, because that's what they are, when first time people are taking what they think is a Adderall prescription med that it turns out to be fentanyl. Mm. But what would make them want to make that decision to do that in the first place? But the point is that we all deal with this in some form or fashion, whether it's little, I mean, you know, from a behavioral issue of someone having a crisis that can be calmed within, you know, a quick conversation and finding some help with maybe some resources, to, you know, major diagnosed issues where people are dealing with some serious mental issues. that they may be prescribed medications for, and they get off the medicines because they feel better and they revert right back to their own ways of behavior. But what impact this will have on the community is to hopefully not use the jail as a resource of a solution to this. Not that people don't need to answer for the actions that they do, because they will and they need to, but that's not the only answer when you're dealing with something that somebody is dealing with a mental situation and they behave in ways that just aren't acceptable. So my vision in this thing from the very beginning was it needs to be holistic, where we need to get the schools involved, and they are involved. And that's so cool, because we need to reach out and engage with the kids at that level before they become adults, where I have to deal with them. Mm-hmm. But it becomes so much more involved. There's resources that we have now in the, that we're using in the jail for the ladies through local assistance of different organizations. And that's what this is all about. It's about trying to break those cycles and break, well, the cycle of the same routine and the same decision-making processes that some of these people have engaged in and that they've learned. We need to unlearn those things and have avenues available to provide that for them. Obviously, the more help we can get, getting over the idea, when people ask me what's your biggest challenge, the biggest challenge is, you know, dealing with the stigma of admitting that we have these issues. And so that's probably the biggest challenge. So education is huge here. We need to understand that if we got a child that is doing, you know, say consuming a lot of alcohol, look what just happened here recently out on 46. This stuff can be stopped if we can intervene early enough, change behavioral ways, find solutions, and obviously those kinds of things will make the community a better and safer place.
Thank you for that. One of the funniest things I have ever heard in my entire life was during one of our Kendall County Behavioral Health Initiative meetings, where Sheriff Al shared that people actually call 911 when their kids won't get out of bed. That's true. Yeah. I hope eventually that those are the most awful calls that come. You know, I don't want calls to go into 911 to say that a child has committed suicide. I don't want the calls from the school district saying they didn't have enough resources. I really hope that we get to back to a place where mental and behavioral health is something that we catch early as a community, that we're being very proactive about the resources that exist, that if a parent sees some outlier in their children's behavior, that they have a place to go, and they don't have to spend an hour in the car driving into a metropolitan area to get the resources. You know, to be quite frank, it's very expensive, it's very inconvenient, and a lot of parents just don't have the capacity to take that kind of time off of work. And so if it was available inside the school, and if it was available inside our community, I think the likelihood of us being able to identify and proactively help is going to exponentially go through the roof. And that's my goal. As an organization, we want to be part of that solution. We're a solutions-based organization. You know, we deal with people in crisis, but that doesn't mean we want them to be in crisis. You know, we, as nonprofits, all of us really hope that we work ourselves out of a job. We don't want to have to work with people on the worst day of their lives. And I know that, Al, you and your team, I want to give your team credit. You have two, actually, that's not true. You have three, because I consider Renee, the mental health dog, as an equal member of our community. But we've got two mental health officers, deputies, who work tirelessly in this community. We've got Michelle Quaid and Michael Stokerham. How did I mispronounce his name? Sorry, Mike. And then Renee, who, if you haven't met Renee, please, please take an opportunity to drop by and visit her. She is a hoot. She was trained as a seeing eye dog and failed. And so now we got her as our Kendall County mental health dog. And then the local police department has Rebecca Foley. And so our community is really blessed by having officers who actually work inside of our community, inside our law enforcement, to be able to be one degree of separation between, you know, the next step. So they're really helping us tremendously. Bryce, I'll end with you by asking, tell us how the Kendall County Behavioral Health Initiative is rolling out. Really, what's next? Because right now, I know that I fielded a lot of questions that says there's a lot of talk, but I don't see anything happening. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the rollout.
So I think one of the things that we're trying to do is continue this collaborative effort so that even local therapists, counselors, social workers, those that are involved in this community are aware that each other exists, are aware that we are trying to educate and give opportunity in this county for behavioral health. And I'm glad the sheriff explained that because I think it's very important. Those go hand in hand. Substance use and mental wellness are co-occurring. And I think if we can offer that help through organizations like Cicada and Hakata and other counseling agencies and those that exist here, we got to continue that conversation. And really it starts with that 911 call that comes into dispatch. And we're starting that conversation now with MHDD and our mental health officers, and even our paramedics and firefighters are going to get involved in the conversation to say, how can we deter that person that calls in from going into jail or going into the ER or an emergency detainment situation? And so a clinician, like a social worker like myself or someone else, could say, how can we make a plan for you tomorrow that you can get help here in Kendall County, not in Bexar County, not in Kerr County, but here? How can we support your family? And we want to be able to plug those folks in, like the sheriff said, into a helping situation. And I think that, to me, I keep on saying these three things: connection, education, and opportunity. And I know that's probably the chamber's motto or whatever, but it's becoming my motto because I think those three things are what's going to impact behavioral health in Kendall County, so that we're aware, we have the opportunity to educate professionals and families and individuals, and then we give the opportunity there for therapeutic interventions that can help folks in the long run. So that's what I see.
Well, thank you so much. And again, thank you to both of you. And, you know, for those who have listened to this program, you must have a lot of brewing questions. And if you do have very specific questions and just say, I'm dealing with something right now, I really would like to have some resources, or I know a guy and I think he could help you out, or just really want to get to know Bryce a little bit better, please feel free to give our office a call, which is at 830-249-8643. Visit us on our website, which is hcfstx.org. If you'd like to be part of the Hill Country Behavioral Health Initiative, there are constant meetings. If you haven't been to one, we truly have over 150 extremely engaged individuals on a county level. So feel free to call us and ask more questions. But I do want to say a huge thank you to Bernie Radio. We are honored to be a partner with you. Thank you for giving us a platform to share the critical needs of our community, find ways for solutions. You're a true partner, and we are so blessed to have you as part of our core team. And thanks for the opportunity for me to sit down and talk to these great guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.